Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast in association with our friends at Bear Cricket. I'm your host, Aaron, aka the Cricket Connoisseur, and joining me on my left, as always, is my Lancastrian co-host, Joe Nutsy Nuttall. So Joe, mate, how's your day been so far?
Yeah, not too bad. I've not really done much, to be fair. But yeah, it's been all right. I was watching a bit of the cricket this week. Obviously, England were playing, so... Yeah, a good series win, to be fair, for England. Some interesting selections. Great seeing Leon Livingston do so well. I kind of wish he'd opened the batting. I think that was very harsh that he didn't get to open the batting in the last game, considering he does that literally every game for Lancs. But yeah, great seeing getting a chance. And, you know, Sam Curran, brilliant. What a player Sam Curran is, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great run out in the second T20. Probably that was my moment of the series,
yes.
Actually.
Gareth Southgate,
celebration,
sign him up.
That was great.
Absolutely outstanding, yeah. Get him in for the Germany game. But yeah, Joe, I mean, great, great performance from England. What did you make of it? I mean, 3-0 against Sri Lanka. Yes, fair enough, Sri Lanka at the moment aren't exactly the side that they were 6-7 years ago, for example, when they won the T20 World Cup. But they still have got some excellent players in there. Winindu Hasaranga, for example, is a great player. He really is. I think England actually played very, very well. Chris Wokes as well. How good is it to see him back in an England shirt playing? For the first time since 2015, when he played against Pakistan. Good to see him back, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, shame we'll never see him play a test match again, because apparently you can't play more than 2 days of cricket in a row. But yeah, great to see him back in an England shirt. I feel like he's been very harshly treated, as alongside many others, Don Best, Matt Parkinson, Moeen Ali. So great to see Chris Wokes back in the side and doing so well as well. Really, really good. And obviously Johnny as well. Just quality. I know he got a fail in the second T20, but first one was class. What he could do, and then the second one was great as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's good to see England in that kind of form, isn't it? I mean, T20
World
Cup. Yeah,
especially with so many players missing as well. Obviously no Stokes, no Jofra. Moeen Ali can't even get in the team.
Well, that's testament to Livingston, isn't it?
Oh, 100%, yeah. But I definitely still think Moeen Ali should be like the fact that the last time before, obviously Saturday, before the last time he played a T20, he was the captain for England, and now he can't even get a look in. I just find that poor, to be honest. I think that's not very, you know, obviously he's not necessarily going to be playing every game, but I don't know. I just think that's pretty bad by England. So, and maybe I think there was other reasons in India why he didn't play, but just in general, I don't know.
It's an interesting one, though, isn't it, with England? Because
yeah,
I suppose
definitely.
At the moment we have an embarrassment of riches.
Well, that, yeah, like Australia thing. As well. Like Australia, you know, Australia have got... well, Marnus can't even get anywhere near the squad, which I just find incredible, again. So, so many players for England, so many players for Australia. And have you seen the groups as well, by the way?
I have indeed, yeah. We've got an interesting one, haven't we? India, yeah, South Africa, Afghanistan.
Yeah, I think we should probably... well, I'd like to think we can beat Afghanistan, although you never know. They're a good side.
Ooh, in the UAE, though. It's an interesting one, isn't it? With Rashid Khan in there, Naveen Al-Haq, of course, who's been playing.
Well, we are meant to be one of the... Are we number one in the world at the moment in T20s?
Yep.
So we still should be able to beat them. You can't be number one in the world and not beat a team in any country.
Yeah, but it's the T20 World Cup.
Don't get me wrong. I think Afghanistan are a good side. They've got the best, arguably best T20 player in the world in the team. Rashid Khan. So
Sussex, yeah, is Rashid Khan.
Sussex is, he'll be back soon, won't he? So
indeed, yeah, can't wait for that.
Definitely. And yeah, I think probably England and India will get through. I don't think South Africa are a side who are there yet, they're in development. It's just our stand cricket. So he probably won't roll off back in the team, won't he? But you know, it'll be very interesting to see how that goes for England. I am quite confident of at least getting to the semis.
Interesting. Interesting indeed, Joe. We'll have to wait and see, won't we? Of course. I mean, we have had the news actually this morning, funnily enough, that the BCCI have announced that the T20 World Cup in 2021 will take place entirely in the United Arab Emirates. So we'll have to wait and see how England do perform in a very, very tough group. But with that being said, exciting time. Should be a great tournament. Hopefully more fans are allowed in for the tournament as well. And yeah, it's going to be a great one. I really do feel like this is going to be a fantastic World Cup. So many quality teams. England as well, right up there. Would I say favourites? Would you say favourites, Joe? I think we're probably in the top three.
No. Yeah, I'd probably say you'd have to say India are favourites because the conditions are so like what they used to play in. And then for me, it's between Australia and England. I'd probably say that's so hard. I think England's downfall will be not picking Root, because I can't see them picking Root at the moment. And I disagree with that. But Joe Root is England's best player of spin. Just generally, I'd say Bairstow is England's best player of spin in white ball cricket. But Root's, you can't take away how good he is playing spin. And I think to not even take him, it's Joe Root. Any other country, he starts for them. So I think to not even take him could be England's downfall. So I think maybe Australia, I could see just edging England potentially, just because they have the likes of Smith, obviously Finch and Warner, and potentially Marnus if they see sense and he goes.
As I said, it's going to be such an interesting tournament. And you mentioned there Joe Root. Right, and I suppose a selection conundrum. We'll talk about another selection conundrum, of course, in today's podcast. And that is, of course, Alex Hales. Now, Joe, I do want to get your thoughts on this, but we'll get to that in due course. Because, of course, today is our T20 wrap-up show. So for the T20 Blast in 2021. And yeah, it's been an interesting week, hasn't it, Joe? To be honest, in particular with our teams, Lancashire and Birmingham, as we're known in the T20, but Warwickshire, because neither of our teams won a game. Unfortunately, neither did Lucy's team, Glamorgan. This is the first time I think that's ever happened, isn't it, Joe? That we've actually had a weekly wrap-up podcast where neither of our teams have won a single game. It's not ideal, is it, mate?
No, it's not. But yeah, we'll address that if it comes to it, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose we'll have to, Joe. Yeah, we do have to face it this week, unfortunately. We do. But yeah, in terms of this week's podcast then, of course, listeners, we do start with the tables. Now, the tables in the T20 Blast for this week look completely different. Just to think, Joe, a couple of weeks ago, the Bears were top and Lancashire were third. Let's just say that we're no longer there, to put it lightly. So in terms of the North Group, we'll start with the Yorkshire Vikings, who are currently top on 13 points with an excellent net run rate of 1.303. In second are the defending champions, the Nottinghamshire Outlaws, also on 13 points with a slightly inferior net run rate. In third are Durham. They've been so impressive this season, beat the Bears twice this week at both the Riverside and Edgbaston. I was there for both to watch that, so thank you very much, Durham. They're currently on 11 points in third place. In fourth are the Worcestershire Rapids on 10 points. In fifth are the Birmingham Bears on 9 points. In sixth, Joe, are the Lancashire Lightning on 8 points, struggling to find some momentum at the moment, the Lightning. In seventh are the Derbyshire Falcons on 7 points. In eighth are the Leicestershire Foxes on 6 points. And in ninth and final place in the North Group are the Northamptonshire Steelbacks on 5 points. Now, swiftly moving on to the South Group. In first, I mean, this is a fantastic sight for Gloucestershire fans. The glorious Gloucesters are currently top of the South Group on 12 points, unbeaten this week, winning all three of their games. In second are the Kent Spitfires, also on 12 points, again with a slightly inferior net run rate. In third are Surrey on 11 points. In fourth are the Sussex Sharks on 10 points. In fifth are Somerset on 8 points, but with a game to spare over Sussex. In sixth are the Essex Eagles on 7 points. In seventh are Glamorgan on 6 points. In eighth are Middlesex on 4 points. And in ninth and final place, a massive surprise, I must admit, in the South Group are the Hampshire Hawks on just 4 points with a minus 0.709 net run rate. So very, very different groups. And I suppose it just shows the unpredictable nature of the T20 Blast. It's why we love it. Anything can change. And of course, that does also go for this week as well. And fingers crossed, Joe, our teams can change their fortunes ahead of this week's games.
They need to. They really need to.
Absolutely, they do. And fingers crossed they can. But in terms of this week's game show, let's have a look back at the last 7 days. And of course, with our wrap-up shows, we look at batting performances first. So Joe, mate, I'll start with you, seeing as you weren't here last week, to give us your insight and 2 cents. What were your top 3 batting performances for the North Group?
Okay, so my first one, this is by far one of the best, probably top 2 performances of the week in either group, top 3. Actually, let's say in either group, and that is Aaron Lilly's 99 not out. I was so gutted that he couldn't get 100 against Yorkshire as well. Obviously, couldn't get that 2 off the last ball, which he needed. And then he obviously hit, it was like a pull shot that he hit in the last over for 4, and it was a 1-bounce 4, and it was millimeters away from going for 6. It was so close, but what an innings! Aaron Lilly, I've said it for so many years, he's such a good player, he's such an underrated T20 player. He hits the ball so hard and such a long way, and he's so effective at number 3. And Lancs were it was a genius idea to promote him to number three. I always say we should have kept him on. I don't know why or if we didn't. I'm so happy that he's scoring runs for Leicester because, as I say, he's such a good player. So, yeah, Aaron Lee's 99 is my first one this week.
Yeah, Joe, I would concur with that. I have to be honest. And in terms of the sentiment about being gutted as well, he was on 98 not out on the last ball. And he just couldn't get the two. I couldn't believe it. The way in which he was just, you know, dispatching the ball with such force and such ease as well. It was incredible. He scored 9 fours and 4 sixes. I thought, final ball, he's going to score at least four. Yeah, he's going to get a century. He's going to raise the battle off, take his helmet off, you know, go out in a blaze of glory. And unfortunately, he could only get one. It was so, so gutting. But with that being said, Joe, the important thing for both Lille and, of course, Leicestershire is that the Foxes won the game.
100%.
They won by 34 runs. Massive victory against Yorkshire Grace Road. And to be fair, it was a fantastic innings, wasn't it, mate?
Yeah, it was. It was. As I say, he hits the ball so hard, and he demonstrated that again against Yorkshire. I saw him get his, at the time, his highest ever score in T20 cricket. It was in 2018, in his last year. And I was gutted that he didn't get 50. He got 48, I think. So for him to get now this close to 100, yeah, I can imagine how Leicester fans feel. It must be pretty gutting, but yeah, what a player. He literally just stands there and hits the ball. He doesn't, I mean, he moves his feet a bit more than Chris Gayle, but he's a similar kind of style. You know, he just stands there and absolutely leathers the ball. And it's such a great thing to watch, really, isn't it? So yeah, I'm just buzzing that he's got them runs, really.
100%. And it was a great innings. And Joe, as you said, definitely in terms of the North group, 100% top two. It was an absolutely outstanding batting performance.
Top three in the week.
From Aller and Lille. Of course, yeah. But in terms of you know, groups, our top three.
Well, I get, to be fair, that's not a debate we need to have because we don't actually pick those.
So. Well, exactly. Yeah, that's a good point.
That's not a debate we need to have.
No, but it was fantastic innings that from Aller and Lille. 99 out from 55 balls. Deserved a century, but again, got the win. Got the runs on the board. Absolutely phenomenal with a capital P. In terms of my second one, Joe, I think that you're going to know exactly what this is. And that is, of course, Alex Hales' magnificent 101 out from 66 balls against Lancs at Trent Bridge. Now, Joe, I asked this question to Lucy on last week's wrap-up show, and I alluded to it at the start of this week's wrap-up show, about Alex Hales' inclusion in the England T20 World Cup squad. Now, this, of course, has been up for massive debates. It has been for the last year, hasn't it, really, ever since his first omission in 2019. In your opinion, Joe, given the fact that Alex Hales has been in such incredible form in 2020 and 2021, let's not forget that he was the leading run scorer at the Big Bash for the Sydney Thunder. He had a fantastic PSL as well for both Karachi and Islamabad in PSL 5 and 6, respectively. And of course, this season, he's got off to a fantastic start for Notts. If we have a look at his stats so far this season, he's currently the fourth leading run scorer with 335 runs at 55.83 and an incredible strike rate of 172.68. Now, we all know Alex Hales' capabilities. We know what he's capable of. We know how destructive a batsman he is at the top of the order. He can single-handedly take a game away from any opposition. In your opinion, Joe, should Alex Hales be given another chance to redeem himself for the three lines and a crown? What are your thoughts, mate?
100% he should. Yeah, absolutely. People make mistakes, right? It happens in life. And Alex Hales made this mistake over... Well, it became public knowledge over 2 years ago. England have now won the World Cup. There's been a World T20 postponed. It is now, as I say, over two years on. And they still won't let Alex Hales get back in the team. And whether that is, or even in the squad, and whether that's something to do with Owen Morgan, whether, you know, I think we mentioned it before on the podcast, Owen Morgan could retire if England win this World T20. That's a genuinely that could happen. Whether then Hales will then get back in, depending on who takes over, which will probably be Joss Butler, I would assume. Does that then mean Hales gets back in the side? I don't know, but for me, it would be ridiculous of England not to take him. Him, Alex Hales and Joe Root are two of England's best T20 players. Say what you want about Joe Root, all right? This is, you can bat and ball. Everyone knows that. He's a class player. Alex Hales is one of the best T20 opening batsmen in the world. That's a fact. Whether he plays for his country or not, that's a fact. I just say he finishes leading run scorer in so many tournaments, or up there in so many tournaments every time he plays. You know, PSL, BBL, T20 Blast. It amazes me he doesn't get more of a go at the IPL. It amazes me that. And I just think England would be stupid not to take him. He scored runs for England in these conditions before. He got that 100 in the World T20 a few years, but was that 2014, I think? And it was against Sri Lanka that he got that 100. And, you know, what a knock that was. In my opinion, it's stupid not to take Alex Hales. As I say, mistakes are made. He has made mistakes, sure. It's 2 years ago now. You know, you move on from it. So, in my opinion, Hales 100% should go. But, unfortunately, it's not my choice.
And that is what I was going to pick up on. Because, of course, it's all well and good, isn't it, Joe? I think we've had this conversation multiple times on the podcast, haven't we? About Alex Hales' inclusion or readmission into a wider England squad. And it just hasn't materialised. And to be honest, as much as, I suppose, cricket fans, if we're looking at this really objectively, and you're looking at Alex Hales, the cricketer, not the person, and you get rid of all of that baggage, the off-field baggage, which was associated with him in 2017 and, of course, 2019. If we're looking at this purely from a cricketing perspective, his stats speak for themselves.
By the way.
Of course we are, yeah, because we're not here to comment on the person.
Just, exactly, we're not integrated into the England squad, as good as that would be. Yeah. We don't know what Alex Hales is like.
Would it be good? I think that would be a really bad sign for English cricket if we were in the England squad.
But it'd be good for us, would it not?
Oh, of course, yeah, but it'd show a massive fall in grace, wouldn't it?
of the standard of English cricket.
Especially if I was in there.
You can only hope.
Oh no, I hope that England are never that desperate to have my filthy off-spin in there. But in terms of this whole point of conversation, I suppose, it is all well and good us discussing it and conversing about it, but I think for this year, it does seem incredibly unlikely. Okay, Morgan has said there's a route back for Hales, but it's such a short time frame now. If Hales was meant to get back, he either would have had to play against Sri Lanka or Pakistan, and that just hasn't happened. It's as simple as that.
They're not named the squad for Pakistan yet, so you never know.
I don't think he's going to be in there.
No, I agree, but you never know. Because remember, as well, he scored so many runs in the PSL. He's played against most, if not all of these players, or with them. Potentially that would make sense to put him in. Even just for that, based on that. And then you say, you know, go if he scores 250s or 100, whatever, then he's in the World T20 squad.
Hmm.
I think it's a very interesting debate and one that there's no obvious answer to.
Exactly. Exactly, there isn't. And I suppose it is all just speculation. At the end of the day, it's not up to us. It's up to Owen Morgan, Chris Silverwood, and of course, England and Wales as a cricket team. But we'll have to wait and see. But nevertheless, all of the conversation aside about Alex Hales and a T20 World Cup place, that was still a fantastic knock. 101 out, down to the Lancashire Lightning. Again, condemned them to yet another loss this week, unfortunately, Joe. But yeah, it was a fantastic innings that from Alex Hales. Now, in terms of our third and final one this week, we've actually got a bit of a strange one because usually we do individual batting performances. And this week we've actually found a bit of a loophole. And that is because of the incredible 141 run unbeaten sixth wicket partnership between Harry Brook, who scored 83 and out from 54 balls, and former TCCP guest Jordan Thompson, who scored 66 and out from 28 balls in Yorkshire's incredible victory, it has to be said, over Worcestershire at Headingley. Now, in terms of the partnership itself, I've just mentioned their individual scores, but 141 runs, unbeaten, it's the highest sixth wicket partnership in T20 Blast history. So the previous best was 126 and out, and that was set by Durham's Callum McLeod and John Hastings all the way back in 2014 against Northants. And it's also the second highest sixth wicket partnership in T20 cricket history. Joe, I want to test your cricket knowledge here. Do you know who scored the highest sixth wicket partnership in T20 history? I'll give you a clue, CPL. Jamaica Talawars versus Trimbago.
You're really testing my knowledge here.
It is a tough question. And of course, for the listeners out there, please do let us know your answers as well.
Can you give me a bit more of a hint? Are they overseas players, West Indian players?
Jamaican. Both Jamaican. One of them plays around the world. Used to play for Notts, plays in the IPL for Kolkata.
Okay, so Dre Russ is clearly one.
I don't think you'll know the second one.
No, but I got 50%, so we'll take it. We'll take it.
Exactly. It was Keenan Lewis. And the only reason I bring that up is I stayed up until 2 o'clock in the morning watching that game.
Dedication.
2018, Queen's Park Oval. Jamaica were 41 for 5 and chased down 223 runs due to Andre Russell's incredible century. It was incredible. But yeah, sorry, just a bit of cricket badgeriness aside. What a knock that was from Harry Brook and Jordan Thompson. Simple as that. Joe, what did you make of that? Considering, again, almost in similar circumstances, I mentioned there about Jamaica being 41 for 5. Yorkshire were 15 for 4 in the fifth over of their innings. And then this incredible partnership comes up. 141 runs, basically in the space of 9 overs. What did you make of that partnership between Brook and Thompson?
Well, I think that could be one of the greatest ever T20 Blast partnerships, if not the greatest, especially considering the position that they were in. It was an outrageous partnership, and one that you will probably, I wouldn't say never see again, but you're rarely going to see a partnership like that again in T20 cricket. It's different in one-day cricket and in, of course, Test match cricket, which is totally different. But certainly in one-day cricket, you probably will see stuff like that happen. But the amount of overs that you have to bat in T20 cricket is short enough. Of course, 20, they didn't even open the batting. So they've had even less time to build this partnership, build Yorkshire back up from 15 for 4 to, yeah, pretty much single-handedly take the game by the scruff of the neck. So, as I say, I think you'll be hard-pressed to find a better partnership in T20 last history, to be honest.
It's an interesting one, isn't it?
If anyone can think of one, let us know on Twitter, because I can't.
Well, for me personally, I'd go with Ian Bell and Adam Hose's one in 2018 against Northants, but that's me being very, very biased. So we scored 231 runs in that game. And Ian Bell, his first and only ever T20 century, I was there in the West Stand, Edgbaston, to watch that. But yeah, of course, please do let us know at the CounterCrick2 on Twitter. But what an extraordinary, extraordinary batting display that was. And I'll tell you what, those two have been in absolutely scintillating form. Don't be surprised if they do appear in one of our next segments, actually. Hint, hint. But talking of that game, Joe, that actually reflects really nicely into our next transitional segment, which is, of course, the bowling performances of the week. And we mentioned there about Yorkshire being 4 for 15. And there was a massive reason behind that. And that was Dylan Pennington's bowling. He took 4 for 24 against Yorkshire in that game at Headingley. But that is an incredible thing. His first two overs, he took figures of 4 for none. He didn't concede a single run. He took 4 wickets, no runs conceded, 2 wicket maidens. That is absolutely staggering. And including the wickets as well, massive wickets. Again, Joe Root, for example, Adam Live. Absolutely tremendous from Dylan Pennington. And you just look at his overall spell. 24 balls bowled, 16 of them were dot balls. Joe, what did you make of that performance from Dylan Pennington? I mean, he's had a fantastic week. Took another couple of wickets actually yesterday against Leicestershire, funnily enough. But how impressed were you with that particular bowling display from the Worcestershire bowler?
Yeah, I think Worcester have not had it easy since they won the T20. Obviously, they lost Joe Clark. They lost Luke Wood, who was obviously only on loan. More recently, lost Wayne Parnell. Pat Brown has kind of not really lived up to the hype, unfortunately. He's just struggled with injury. And he's obviously only, 21, 22. So he's got, I'm not writing him off by any means. But unfortunately, over the last few years, he's struggled since he made his England debut in New Zealand a couple of years back, or a year back. Can't remember how long ago it was now.
2019.
Yeah. 2019. A couple of years back, yeah. But yeah, I think especially losing Wayne Parnell, for me, that was the one for Worcester. We saw him bowl that fantastic over to Ben Duck. Fantastic over to Ben Duck, really, in the semi-final of the T20 in 2019, where obviously that last ball was a dot and got Worcester through. So, you know, I think finding someone to fill those boots have been hard, but Dylan Pennington, fair play to him. I'm not saying he's as good as Wayne Parnell yet, but I tell you what, he's performing very well with the ball. So you can't really knock him, to be honest. You can't really knock him.
I don't think you can, Joe. Exactly. He's been absolutely incredible, I think, to be honest. And this week, again, he's just been in fantastic form. It was a great, great bowling display. Really, really impressive. And as I said, to get 2 wicket maidens, basically, to kickstart a game against Yorkshire, a top of the table, was staggering. It really was. And it took something incredibly special between Jordan Thompson and Harry Brook to take the game away from the Rapids after that incredible start. So Dylan Pennington, take a bow. Extraordinary 6 economy rate as well. in a game where 191 runs are scored for Yorkshire. Most economical bowler in the entire game on either side. That was a pretty memorable bowling display, to say the least. Talking of memorable bowling displays, Joe, this is an interesting one because, again, I was there for this. Ben Stokes, of course, playing for Durham at the moment, not in the England squad, easing himself back after that broken hand that he sustained in the IPL for Rajasthan. But he took 4-27 from three overs against the Bears at Edgbaston this week. Now, on the surface, you look at that and go 4-27. He's bowled incredibly well. When you look at the wickets, it gets even better. He got Sam Hain really early. Good short ball, Sam Hain.
Great celebration behind Ned Eckersley. Well. Great celebration.
It was, yes. I mean, I wasn't celebrating at the time.
Well, no, of course.
To be honest, Joe.
But it was still a great celebration, nonetheless.
It was, and he bowled tremendously well. But the aspect of this that I really want to talk about is the Matlam wicket. Because on the scorecard, if you have a look and that says bowled Stokes, caught rain, that doesn't really give this enough emphasis, I don't think. It doesn't do it justice. Because that could be an easy catch. This was not an easy catch. This was absolutely outrageous from Ben Rain. Matt Lamb was absolutely dispatching this ball to each and every corner of Edgbaston. I think he'd hit Ben Stokes, actually, for a massive six, just one or two balls before. And this was a short ball. Lamb went for the pull shot. It looked destined for a six. And out of nowhere, Ben Rain just produces this incredible acrobatic diving catch to his right. And the entire stadium was just absolutely shocked. And then, of course, there's a ripple of applause afterwards, just acknowledging just how good a catch this was. But it's just great, great cricket all around. Ben Rain also did take another good catch in that game, funnily enough, again, off the bowling of Ben Stokes. But I'll tell you what, Durham in that game, I must admit, I have to give credit where credit's due. They have had the wood over Warwickshire this year. And in that game on Saturday in particular, the bowling was absolutely exceptional. Ben Stokes, of course, his 4-27 being the talismanic performance of the week. But yeah, the fielding as well. Ben Rain, take a bow. Absolutely extraordinary catch. And for those at Edgbaston, I don't think we'll be forgetting that anytime soon. It was absolutely incredible. And then in terms of Ben Stokes' other two wickets as well, just in case, again, Sam Hain and Matt Lamb wasn't enough to kill Warwickshire's chances. He also dismissed Michael Burgess and Tim Bresnan, which completely killed our momentum and, yeah, condemned Warwickshire to yet another loss this week. Talking of which, actually, and I know this is going a little bit off topic, Joe, I do apologise, but I looked into this, and Warwickshire have not had a winning season at Edgbaston since 2015. So in terms of our home win percentage, has not exceeded 50% since 2015, when we made finals there, of course, and ended up losing out in the semis. But that, to me, just suggests there's a problem. And I can't put my finger on it. I really can't, because some people were suggesting it's the hybrid pitches, which were introduced at Edgbaston in 2018/19, I believe, towards the start of that season, and of course have produced some pretty high-scoring wickets since. Or is it just a case of just not being able to win at home? I cannot put my finger on it, because for a team like Warwickshire at Edgbaston, a place where historically we've been so fantastically successful. I mean, even this season as well, in Red Bull cricket, we're unbeaten at home. And yet we haven't won a single one of our home games this season so far. Of course, the Lancs game was abandoned. We lost the Derbyshire game, which was our first loss against Derbyshire since 2011 at Edgbaston, just the second time that they've ever beaten us at the Fortress in the T20 Blast. And then, of course, losing to Durham just to put the icing on the proverbial cake of despair for this week. But not a great week, unfortunately, for the Bears. Hopefully we can get it back. But yeah, we definitely need to sort out our home win percentage. That's something which has been just going downhill for years, unfortunately. But Joe, apologies about that. I did just have a little bit of a waffle on about Warwickshire, of course. So I've mentioned
Ben vent.
Stokes.
Got a vent.
Yeah, well, it's not even venting. It's just saying the truth, isn't it? Well, I mean, it's just stats. And as I said, I mean, it's not going to change my support. I'm still backing the boys. I'll be there on Wednesday watching us against Yorkshire, hopefully get the win. So, yeah, they've still got my backing for the final five games and, of course, beyond that. But it's just an interesting
just
dilemma.
Just the final five games.
Yeah, no, just the final five games. Yeah, no, still, exactly. That's the thing about the T20 Blast, so much to play for. But I just found it interesting. When a team can't win at home and there doesn't seem to be an obvious reason behind it, that's the only reason why I brought that up. But apologies about going off track, Joe. So that was all about Ben Stokes' 4-27. So yeah. In terms of your final, your third and final bowling performance of the week, what did you go for, mate?
Yes, so for my final, balling performance. And I've actually gone for one that was in the same game as Lily's 99, and that is Callum Parkinson, 4 for 35 against Yorkshire. Callum Parkinson, for me, is one of the most underrated bowlers in T20 Blast cricket. And I think he largely gets overshadowed by Matt Parkinson, which obviously we all know how good Matt Parkinson is. He's probably should be playing more for England. 100%, well, definitely should be playing more for England. But Callum Parkinson is such a good bowler. There's not many left-arm spinners that England have. And I think that's what sets him apart. Other than Danny Briggs, who I think is a class bowler, but I don't see him getting back into the England team, realistically. Because I don't think... I would be like an advocate for getting him back in. I don't see England putting him back in.
Him, Lintott, Parkinson, sorted for the next generation.
But Lintott's a leg spinner. So I'm talking about off spinners, though. So.
Ah, fair enough.
Although, having said that, Lintott is a class bowler, I must say, Lintott. And was a great podcast guest as well. So,
indeed.
I must just say that while we're talking about him. But yeah, back to Callum Parkinson. That was a great bowling performance against Yorkshire. Yorkshire got bowled out. So, you know, he got almost half the wickets. Was a massive part of Leicester winning that game. And he's not necessarily had the best time in the T20. He's opening the bowling, which I'm not personally a fan of. I like spinners opening the bowling. I just think Callum Parkinson needs to be bowling outside of the power play for him to get more wickets. Because,
a bit like his brother.
Yeah, for example, when Lanks played against Leicester at Old Trafford, Livingston and Allen basically just hit him over cover every ball. So, you know, he had no protection out there. I just think he needs to be better used by Colin Ackerman, or used less in the power play. So I think he's a class bowler. Having said that, I actually did just realise I did forget a left-hand spinner, Tom Hartley. Who,
good prospect.
For me, great prospects. Bowling very, very well this year. But Callum Parkinson is doing so well. So, it's great to see.
Absolutely, it was. And a very, very good bowling performance, has to be said. 4 for 35, got three massive wickets of Lithe, Root and Taz all up early. And then, of course, clean bowled the informed Jordan Thompson for a two-ball duck. The only innings where Jordan didn't actually score any runs this week. So Callum Parkinson, brilliant this week. Good to see him back in the wickets. Good that we're talking about him again as well. I think, as many of you will know, we do rate Callum incredibly highly, along with his brother, of course, Matt, here on the Counter Cricket Podcast. And again, great win that for the Running Foxes. Absolutely sensational. I mean, it's not been the most ideal start to the season, of course, currently in eighth in the North Group. But with that being said, they have got a very, very good project going on. Naveen Ul Haq's been fantastic as well. And who knows? Who knows? It's not over till it's over, is it, Joe? If they won every game, they could potentially make it through to the quarterfinals.
Yeah, you never know. But of course, it's unlikely.
It is. But again, we'll have to wait and see. Won't we, Joseph? We will have to wait and see.
Funny game. Cricket, funny game.
Exactly. As we've found out over the past 7 days. In terms of our next segment then, Joe, I say we move swiftly on because, of course, we still do have to talk about the South Group. In terms of this week's North Group Team of the Week, and I'm guessing you aren't going to choose Lanks, but in terms of your North Group Team of the Week, Joe, who have you gone with?
Yeah, I've gone with Durham. I just think they've... obviously, having Stokes as back has helped, but I just think they've had a really strong week, beating Warwickshire twice, which is good. I've gone with Durham.
Fair enough. I mean, Durham have been incredibly impressive. They really have, with both bat and ball in hand. In particular, Cam Bancroft as well. Scored, I think, well over 130 runs against us in two games. So, yeah, fair play to Durham. They've been absolutely sensational this week. And I have to admit, they did beat us fair and square in both. They did play better cricket. So, yeah, fair play to Durham. In terms of my team of the week, Joe, I've gone with the Nottinghamshire Outlaws because they've been unbeaten all week. They tied against Lancs. And the way in which they came back and fought back so valiantly and admirably against Derbyshire to get a tie in the East Midlands Derby was just sensational. And you have to look at Notts, and of course we have a look at the power that they possess in that top six, the likes of Ben Duckett, Alex Hales, Joe Clark, Tom Moores, for example, Samit Patel as well. You got Stephen Mullaney and Luke Fletcher to add a bit more firepower as well. But in terms of their bowling attack, it's massively different, isn't it, Joe? No Dan Christian, Harry Gurney has of course retired, and you've got the newcomers, the likes of Calvin Harrison, for example. He's been so impressive. He really has. So for me, Notts, the defending champions, look so strong again. Can't wait for our game against them on Friday, the 2nd of July, which is, of course, this week. But, yeah, I've gone with the Outlaws for my personal team of the week. So Durham and Notts then, Joe, are our North Group teams of the week. In terms of our under-23 player of the week, Joe, we may be in agreement here. I've gone with Yorkshire's Harry Brook.
I've also gone for Harry Brook. Although, I would have gone for Jordan Thompson if he was, but he's 24.
So yeah.
It's a shame.
It is, but then again, we
Jordan. They kind of come as a duo this week.
Yeah, fair enough. But in terms of Harry
Brook... We'll bend the rules for a week.
No. Yeah, might have to. But in terms of Harry Brook's performances this week, of course, we mentioned the 83 not out against Worcestershire. He also scored 33 against Leicestershire and 45 not out as well against Northants. So an excellent week for Harry Brook. Great, great player. Very versatile, very adaptable with his game and his approach. And yeah, he looks like such a bright prospect, doesn't he?
Yeah,
in that middle order, Joe. Brilliant.
Player, really good player.
Absolutely. So our under-23 player of the week, absolutely no surprises there. We are actually in agreement, Joe. Not often that happens with the under-23 player of the week. But yes, we've gone with Yorkshire's Harry Brook. So well done, Harry. Well deserved in every single sense of the word. Moving on then, Joe, to our player of the week in the North Group. I'm going to actually start, and I've gone with Alex Hales. Now, he scored 161 runs in three games this week at 80.50. which included that 101 not out against Lancs. And the other one, which we didn't really mention, but Joe, did you witness this? The 60 not out from 24 balls against Worcester at Trent Bridge. They won by 10 wickets.
I saw clips.
Yeah.
But I didn't see the innings, but I saw highlights.
Right. So 60 not out from 24 balls included 11 fours, Joe. 11 fours and two sixes. It was just ludicrous. It was an outrageous display of ball striking from Alex Hales. Again, we don't need to go into tremendous detail. We mentioned that 101 out enough, but I just had to mention that again. That partnership between him and Joe Clark, I mean, when those two are on form and in rhythm, they are two of the most destructive batsmen in the entire tournament. So, yeah, Alex Hales for me from Notts is my player of the week. Joe, who have you gone with for your North Group player of the week?
Yeah, I've gone with Ben Stokes. He scored a few runs, not massive runs, taken a few wickets, so... Obviously, maybe a bit too mainstream, to be fair, but I don't really care. It's Ben Stokes, he's class. I don't really need to say anything else.
Yeah, I mean, with a guy like Ben Stokes, just have to say his name, don't you? Explains itself. 2019 World Cup winner, absolute legend for England across all three formats. And to be fair, he has impressed me. But then again, it has been against my county of Warwickshire. So I wish he wouldn't have put in those displays personally, but... Now, fair play to Ben Stokes. He has been absolutely exceptional this week. So, Joe, moving on to our final segment for the North Group wrap-up. I think I know the answer to this one. Okay, it's our games to watch this week. Now, I'll start with the maybe less obvious one, and I've alluded to it already. Friday, the 2nd of July, Birmingham Bears versus Notts Outlaws, under the lights at Edgbaston. We always seem to have really good games against Notts. So I think back to 2018 and that last ball run out. Of course, which was incredible. Warwickshire ended up winning the game. 2019, Alex Hales completely destroyed us in a rain-affected game as well. 2017 with the final at Edgbaston. There does usually seem to be quite a lot going on in Bears versus Outlaws matches. So I've chosen that one personally, Joe. In terms of your one, though, I have a feeling it might include two Northern teams.
Yeah, pretty obvious. A Roses game. Cannot wait. Obviously, this Friday. Hopefully, I'll be there. I don't know. Due to COVID restrictions, if I'll actually be able to end up going. But I have tickets. So, yeah, hopefully I don't get refunded because I would love to go and watch another game ahead of me. It's always a good day or good night. And, yeah, hopefully we can pick our performances up a bit because they've been poor recently, let's be honest. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. If not, I'll, of course, be watching it on Sky. So, yeah, I'll be watching it either way.
Should be a great game, shouldn't it, Joe? Yorkshire versus Lancs. I mean, the only thing that you could say this year as well, Lancs really are the underdogs. They need to win, don't they?
I wouldn't say we're the underdogs. I'd still say we're better than Yorkshire, but...
Hang on. Yorkshire, who are currently top, and Lancs are in sixth.
Yeah, but on paper I'm talking about.
Cricket isn't played on paper, it's played on the pitch.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter though because the game hasn't been played yet. So right now, I can talk about it being on paper. So
yeah, but you've just... Are Lancs a better team than Yorkshire this year?
But this year, no. But are Lancs a better team than Yorkshire? Yes.
I have a feeling Yorkshire listeners may disagree with that, Joe, but carry on.
But yeah, I think either way, it's going to be a good game, whoever's the underdogs.
Again, the rivalry coming out to the forefront yet again. Yorkshire versus Lancs is a great game. I mean, for me, it's the standout of the year, in particular the one at Old Trafford. I love that one. But yeah, should be an absolutely fantastic game. Emerald Headingley, Friday the 2nd of July. Should be an absolute blockbuster. Cannot wait. And of course, we'll be discussing the aftermath of that next week, won't we, Joe? So who knows? We'll have to wait and see who emerges victorious. Or better than this week, at least. But in terms of our North Group wrap-up, Joe, I mean, that's pretty much it for this week. So I say that we move promptly onto the South Group, because the South Group this week has been so compelling. Fortunately, the weather has improved, because last week there were so many washouts. The weather was absolutely appalling. So this week, Joe, we've actually had a number of standout performances. And again, like I did with the North Group, mate, I'd like to start with you for the batting performances. So who was your first standout batting performance from the South Group this week?
All right, so I reckon we're going to have at least one the same. So I'll go with one that I think is a bit of a left field choice. He's one of my favourite players, and he's been out of nick, but he's such a class player, and he showed his class in his innings. And that is Ollie Pope scoring 52 out for Surrey against Middlesex in the London Derby. What an innings. What an innings. He played the game, the situation perfectly. Obviously had Jamie Overton at the other end, who was hitting a few big sixes as well. But Ollie Pope just played the situation exactly like Ollie Pope should. He is such a talented player, and I really hope he can find his feet again in Test cricket, because if he can, England are in the money. Mm. England are in the money. And he will be a multi-format cricketer for England, without a doubt. So yeah, Ollie Pope, what an innings, 52 not out against Middlesex to win the London Derby. As I say, it wasn't the highest scoring innings of the week by any means. It wasn't necessarily the flashiest innings, but I think he played the situation so well. He won the game for his side in what was a close game. And I think it was a very good performance from Ollie Pope, one that has kind of proven his ability again. Not his ability, but proven his class, I think, is a better word to use there.
Indeed, yeah, Joe. It was a fantastic innings. I would just like to pick up on one point, though, that you mentioned in there. Multi-format cricketer. What do you mean for by England, that in I terms think of Test, ODI,
so,
T20?
Yeah,
I
think he'll play all three for England.
Even T20?
Yeah, I do. I think he's similar to Joe Root in that kind of... I know Joe Root's not in the side at the moment, but he has been, of course, in the past. And I think Pope is a very similar player in T20 cricket to Root. So yeah, I think he will be a player. He will at least make one appearance in one day in T20 international cricket, which does actually make him a multi-format player. So, but I do think he will play more games than that. So
where would he bat, though?
Pope's class. Well, I think he's got about number four, probably, for England. Maybe number three in T20 cricket. And then in one day cricket, I don't know. Because he's not by any means the next person in line, of course. Sam Haynes the next person in line. But I would say England, clearly.
Should be the first anyway. 59.78 average.
Well, yeah, but as I say, England clearly don't think that. But Ollie Pope, for me, will be up there in the next few years. He's only 23, so for me, he will be up there.
Mm. Interesting. We'll have to wait and see, Joe. But of course, it is nice to see Ollie Pope back in the runs, isn't it? Fantastic cricketer. You mentioned
especially
it already.
In such a big game.
Exactly, yeah.
Not the biggest game, of course.
I'd say.
But it is for the South. Yeah, it is for the South.
It's a massive game. London Derby at the Oval. First game back as well for Surrey. Mm. Brilliant. Absolutely outstanding from Ollie Pope. In terms of my first one of the week, though, Joe, I have to mention one of my absolute favourite players in international cricket right now, and that is, of course, Glenn Phillips. I've mentioned this before he joined Gloss, the fact that he should have had a county contract a couple of years ago. He is absolutely outstanding. One of the most innovative, enterprising and entertaining cricketers on the entire planet right now. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind when I say that, because he is such an exceptional cricketer. Great hand-eye coordination, such a powerful finisher. As I mentioned as well, the innovation that he displayed. And Joe, did you see the shot that he played in this innings? The 94 out from 41 balls against Glamorgan in the aptly named Lucy Rees Derby, of course. Gloucestershire versus Glam. But that shot that he produced against Dan Dalthwaite, Joe, did you see that where he presented all three stumps and then reverse scooped him for six?
Outrageous. That could be shot of the tournament.
Not 100%.
Genuinely could be shot at the tournament.
100%. In fact,
I've not seen a shot like it before.
I have, though, from him. I've seen it from him at Auckland. I just didn't realise he'd pull it out so early on in county cricket, though. But again, with Glenn Phillips, what an outstanding performer he is, and what a fantastic signing he's been as well for Gloucestershire. This week, he is unbeaten, Joe. He hasn't been out at all this week. So he scored 294 not outs. And then, as if that wasn't enough, he also scored 41 out against Kent to win Gloucestershire yet another game. So in terms of Glenn Phillips, he actually doesn't have an average this week because he hasn't got out once. So that is going to
really argue.
No, that's going to do his average absolute wonders. And in terms of his performances so far, this is staggering. I mentioned about Alex Hales being the fourth leading run scorer. Glenn Phillips, in just seven matches, is already the top run scorer in the T20 Blast in 2021. 360 runs, an average of 90, which will, of course, improve after this week, with a strike rate of 172.24. And just look at the split as well here. 25 fours, 25 sixes. 25 sixes in seven matches.
That is ridiculous.
It is. And Joe, I'm just about to put it into even more context, because I mentioned about him in the leading run scorers, and I mentioned their 25 sixes. In second place in the T20 Blast sixes column is Johnny Bairstow on 18.
Wow.
So he's got seven more sixes than anybody else in the T20 Blast this year.
That's scary.
In just seven games.
That is remarkable. I mean, New Zealand have got themselves some player for the World T20, haven't they?
Yeah.
They really have. They're him and Finn Ireland for the World T20. They're going to rip it
Conway
up.
In there as well. Williamson.
Conway, yeah.
Oh, they are an incredible team. They really are, New Zealand. And of course, we didn't really mention it, Joe, but congratulations, of course, to the Black Caps winning the World Test Championship. Yeah, massive win that. But
yeah,
Glenn
Phillips, really good win.
Absolutely outstanding this week. He scored 94 twice. I still can't get over that. But in terms of my standout batting performance, I've chosen his one against Glamorgan from 41 balls. In terms of my second one for the week, Joe, I think we're going to be in agreement for this. And that is, of course, Stevie Eskenazi's 102 from 61 balls. Unfortunately, came in a losing cause. Essex did chase it down by two wickets. Simon Harmer, again, loves scoring fourth last ball, doesn't he? As he did in 2019. But in terms of this innings, Eskenazi, 11 fours, two sixes, an unbeaten century. It was an outstanding knock. And just to think, Joe, as well, a few weeks ago,
they were going to try and loan him out.
Exactly.
They're glad they didn't.
Yeah.
They're glad they didn't.
He was outstanding. And is it as if that wasn't enough as well? We have just mentioned the century there, which was incredible. And realistically, it did put Middlesex in a winning position. Of course, they didn't win in the end, but he got them up to an incredibly competitive total. But as if that wasn't enough, Eskenazi then scored 91 out yesterday against Glamorgan at Radlett to win Middlesex another game of cricket. So Eskenazi is an absolutely scintillating form at the moment, scoring fours and sixes for absolute fun. And I'll tell you what, Joe, it's good to see him in some form, isn't it? Such a classy and elegant player when in rhythm and full flow.
Yeah, he's a great player. Obviously, had that partnership with Darryl Mitchell as well, another World Test Championship winner in the London Derby as well. So he's been in some serious form, and obviously he couldn't find that at the start of the season. He's now thankfully found it and is producing the goods. So that 100 was a really, really good knock. I think that's one of Middlesex's highest ever T20 scores as well. Obviously, drew level with Max Holden and what he got. It was last year, wasn't it, Max Holden's knock?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, really, really impressive from Eskenazi. I'm really pleased to see him in the runs.
It is. It's nice, isn't it? And I imagine Middlesex fans as well. It'll be very nice for them to get another win on the board against Glamorgan at Radlett. Absolutely fantastic from Stevie Eskenazi this week. Joe, in terms of my third and final one, we actually may differ on this slightly, but I'd be interested to see if you have included him. I've gone with Tom Banton.
I've also gone with Tom Banton.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, if that's the case, honourable mention then this week, Colin de Grandon. First of all, how good is it to see him back? Big Colin. Disappointed, though, that Hampshire have not yet played Seven Nation Army when Big Cole strides out to the crease and emerges himself and, you know, puts on an absolute masterclass. But 66 from 34.
Another World Test Championship winner as well.
Exactly, and took two wickets, including fellow countryman Devon Conway, which was absolute scenes. Big Colin, great to see him back, of course. Still playing in yellow, just not the yellow of the Birmingham Bears, unfortunately, but it's just nice to have him back. But in terms of our main choice then, Joe, Tom Banton. Let's focus on Tom Banton. Did you see his reverse sweep as well?
Tom Banton is outrageous, isn't he? obviously that was a great partnership between him and Will Smead.
Yes, it was.
Really, really good
partnership. Scored 63 and out, didn't he?
Yes, Will Smead also got one. So I guess we could say another honourable mention there as well. But really, really good to see Banton back in the runs. He struggled this season. Obviously didn't go to the IPL, which obviously got cut short for now anyway. But yeah, Banton is a seriously talented cricketer. And as I say, I would love to see him one day, obviously not yet, but in the future get a chance to play Test cricket for England if his performance is warranted, because I do think he could be Peterson-esque, maybe not as good, but
that style
along,
of player.
Along those lines of Kevin Peterson, yeah. At number four, number five for England. What I hoped Jason Roy would have been, and he unfortunately wasn't. But
well, we never really got to see that, did we, with J-Roy?
Well, no, that exactly. There you go. So put J-Roy back in the Test team is basically what you just said.
Right, Roy fantastic.
Roy Investor, why not?
Right, moving swiftly on before we get into another debate about England's Test team, Joe, here on the County Cricket Podcast. Just in terms of that knock, before we move on to bowling performances, so 77 from 37 balls, 8 fours, 5 sixes, a 208.1 strike rate. He is just such a brilliant player to watch. I mentioned about Glenn Phillips and innovation, enterprise and entertainment and excitement as well. I could continue just listing these synonyms for Tom Banton because he's a fantastic player. He really has got an absolutely massive ceiling, got such a bright future. And it was a great knock as well. Really, really good knock. Really entertaining. Great, great individual innings from Tom Banton. And a big win for Somerset as well. Considering they had a bit of an indifferent start to the season, that was a massive win to beat the Hampshire Hawks. So fair play to Somerset. Fair play to Tom Banton. Good game of cricket, that. I must admit, at the CACG, the Cooper Associates County Ground in Taunton. But moving on, Joe, to our bowling performances of the week, I would actually like to start here because I have a bit of a question for you, Joe, and of course for the listeners as well. Benny Howell, as we all know, the man who claims to have 60 slow balls, we'd have to get him onto the podcast to discuss each and every single one of them for us. But he took phenomenal figures.
Give all his secrets away, yeah. There's not a chance of that happening.
Yeah, fair enough. But this week, against the Sussex Sharks, he took phenomenal figures of 4 for 15. Absolutely staggering. Bowled 10 dot balls. And this is the key thing with Benny Howell. I mentioned about the slow balls, the clever change of pace, the Yorkers and the death bowling. He didn't concede a single boundary from his four overs, which is quite astonishing in T20 cricket, given the nature of the game in 2021. But in addition to not conceding a single boundary, in addition to having an extremely good economy rate as well, he also dismissed Luke Wright, David Visa, Delray Rawlins and George Garton, which took Gloucestershire to an impressive 27-run win in Hove. Now, my question this week, Joe, is actually about Benny Howell's England place. Because we talk about T20 specialist bowlers. We see that in the UAE, for example, I'm not saying for the T20 World Cup, but let's say in the subcontinent, where the slow changes of pace, the variations, the knuckleballs, for example, do really come into factor. They come into play. Do you think that Benny Howell should get an England call-up at some point? Because in my opinion, he has been on the fringes. He's been on the periphery. He's produced the goods in franchise cricket. I remember him going to Bangladesh. He was absolutely fantastic in the BPL. He's produced the goods for Gloss. He produced the goods for the Melbourne Renegades as well in the Big Bash. Do you see Benny Howell as an outsider in terms of getting an England selection at some point in the next couple of years or so?
Potentially, but I don't see him as the kind of player England like, if that makes sense.
But we have Tom Curran, who I think is a similar archetype.
But Tom Curran can't get into the team at the moment.
Well, he was playing last year, though.
Yeah, but they just had three games where they rotated the bowling attack and he didn't get one game. So I don't see him as a particular... I don't see Benny Howell particularly as a player England like, as class as he is, don't get me wrong, I think he's a great player, but I don't see him as the kind of style of bowler England like. And I think in the UAE, for example, let's have this say he was to get onto the World T20 squad, into the World T20 squad for this year in the UAE, I think he could be valuable for England on those pitches with all the different types of variation he has. I really do think he could be quite valuable, but I don't see England necessarily taking him just because, as I said, I don't think he's necessarily their style of bowler.
Again, maybe it's just, maybe it's wishful thinking on my behalf because I do rate Benny Howell incredibly highly, as you may be able to tell from that passage that I said earlier. But he is a great bowler, fantastic death option. And I tell you what, he just personifies Gloucestershire in some ways, I think. You know, just an absolute character, great bowler, but goes under the radar, doesn't get enough appreciation, in my personal opinion. So, Benny Howell, you're getting that appreciation this week from us two here at the County Cricket Podcast. Outstanding performance, that, from Gloucestershire's seam bowling all-rounder. And you know what, Joe? In the future, I hope that he does get called up. So I think he'd be a very, very interesting option.
I would call him up as a for the Pakistan series, potentially give him a go and see what happens if he doesn't
even
work,
as the successor to Chris Jordan, for example.
Yeah, definitely, because at the end of the day, Chris Jordan is going to have to retire at some point. He's, what, 34 now?
That'll be a sad day, won't it?
It will. What a player. Yeah. What a legend.
Chris Jordan. England's leading all-time T20i wicket taker.
Most underrated, not most underrated, very underrated batsman as well. Those two fours that he hit.
Yeah, the end.
The last two balls that he faced against Sri Lanka on Saturday were great shots. But yeah, Benny Howell, I don't see it happening yet, but potentially one day as an outsider.
Hopefully. We keep our fingers crossed here at the County Cricket Podcast. But moving on from Benny Howell then, Joe, I want to talk about another performer in the county circuit, I suppose, who does get a little bit more recognition, I think, in terms of the wider county circuit. And that is, of course, Simon Harmer. 4 for 26 against Kent. Bowled 11 dot balls, conceded only 3 boundaries, and he dismissed Joe Denley, Jack Leaning, Jordan Cox and Darren Stevens. Darren Stevens, who again has been fantastic this year, I must admit, for the Spitfires.
Signed a new deal as well.
Exactly. How good is that? To have Darren Stevens in the circuit for another year. Absolutely astonishing. We'll talk about that in more detail when the championship wrap-ups come back next week, actually, Joe, that is. But in terms of this performance, Joe, what did you make of this from Simon Harmer? 4 for 26, very economical, 6.50 economy rate. Unfortunately, Essex did lose on DLS. They weren't able to chase down their target. But what did you make of this performance from the South African off-spinner?
Yeah, again, it comes back to it as he's one of the best off-spinners. Well, one of the best bowlers, actually, I should say, in county cricket. And again, I think, obviously, he's now in overseas for Essex. I think South Africa should consider certainly him as an option for the World T20. I think they'd be stupid not to. I don't know if that's something he'd be open to. Think how much of a danger he would be in the subcontinent, in the UAE. He turns the ball an absolute mile. He can also bat. Obviously, he's not going to get in ahead of Shamsi at the moment, who is, he's literally a magician, isn't he, Shamsi? So, I think that'll be very interesting to see. If Harmer can get into the squad, could he maybe displace Shamsi? Would they play two spinners? Linda's also a good spinner as well. I rate Linda. Bowled well against England last year when England toured. Getting all the tours mixed up now with the weird scheduling and stuff. But yeah, I genuinely think Harmer could go to the World T20. Whether he'd be receptive of that, I obviously don't know. But on the face of things, I think South Africa should take him.
Interesting, Joe. And of course, for any South African listeners out there, please do let us know at the County Cricket on Twitter. It's an interesting one, isn't it, about Simon Harmer, not just in white ball cricket, of course, but in red ball as well, coming back to the South African setup. Lots of debates, but again, Joe, I suppose we'll have to save that for another podcast. We'll have to get a South African guest on, I think, for that. Would make for a very, very interesting episode, to say the least. In terms of our third and final one of the week then, Joe, I'll tell you mine. I've gone with Scott Curry's 4 for 31 against Somerset. Now, I have a feeling that you've chosen someone else.
Well, I've got two.
Is one of them a Somerset spinner?
Yeah, well, I'll say this one is...
Who scored a single at Headingley in
2019. Yeah, a very important single. So I'll say this one firstly, Sam Cook, as more of an honourable mention. Probably would have got in 4 for 15 against Surrey. Probably would have got in, but you can't not pick Jack Leach, right? I mean, it's Jack Leach on his T20 debut, opening the bowling as well. 3 for 28 against Surrey. What a legend Jack Leach is. Regardless of what happens in his career, in his England career, he's going to be a legend.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. And I just think it's quite funny to see him play a T20, but he's obviously quite good at it. So, yeah, I would have said Sam Cook, but you can't not say Jack Leach, really.
You know, when we were having our discussion about left-arm off-spinners earlier, Jack Leach.
We forgot Jack Leach.
His name in the hat.
We forgot Jack Leach.
Dan Moriarty, to be fair.
We were just talking about the North group exclusively there, weren't we?
Yeah, that is true, I suppose. But yeah, Jack Leach, brilliant debut, that 3 for 28 for the nuts. It is just fantastic, isn't it?
It's just a funny guy, isn't he, Jack Leach? Just a very...
And a great cricketer.
Oh, what a cricketer. And I would love to see him open the batting for Surrey. Yeah. for Somerset in the T20. Wouldn't that be quite a good laugh?
Him and Tom Banton. Jack Leach having a pinch hit.
Probably quite good at it, to be honest, wouldn't he?
He probably would, yeah, given how assured he was against Ireland. I still can't forget that either. That incredible knock at Lords. But yeah, Jack Leach, what a debut. What an incredible, incredible debut for an incredible cricketer. In terms of what I did mention, though, Joe, I just want to give this a quick mention. And that is, of course, Scott Curry, 4-for-31 against Somerset. Mentioned that in the same game, Tom Banton. Scott Curry actually dismissed Tom Banton for 77. Stemmed the flow of runs a bit for Somerset. Also dismissed Lewis Goldsworthy. Lewis Gregory as well. This was a fantastic catch. Really sharp, caught and bowled to his left. Great reflexes from Scott Curry. And then he topped it off by bowling Marchant Delangre as well. So I've been really impressed with Scott Curry. I think I mentioned him either one or two times, actually, in recent podcasts. Bowls at a good pace, good length, decent variations as well. And just bowled to the conditions. I thought he bowled incredibly intelligently in this game, actually, at the Cooper Associates Cricket Ground. So very, very good. I must admit, all in all, I mean, some good bowling performance in the South Group this week, weren't there, Joe?
Yeah, definitely. As I say, we didn't even... Sam Cook didn't get on our list. Will Jacks, 2-for-7 against Middlesex, didn't get on our list. So
yet.
For the bowling performances, true, didn't get on our list. I mean, but yeah, some great performances.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been a good week, actually, in the South Group. Some incredibly compelling encounters, to say the least. Potentially Colin de Grondlem as well, with his 2 wickets. But I digress. In terms of our next segment then, Joe, Team of the Week. Now, for me, this is pretty obvious, because I've been singing their praises throughout this podcast. Does it begin with a G?
It does, yeah.
Yeah. It is, of course, the glorious Gloucesters. 3 wins out of 3. Glenn Phillips in magnificent touch. Just extraordinary, to say the least. And then that has been backed up tremendously by the likes of Benny Howe, David Payne, Ryan Higgins, and Josh Shaw as well. I think they've been really impressive as a unit. The only thing that I do feel a bit sorry for Gloucestershire about so far is the whole deal with Graham Van Buren. I mean, still no clarity about his position as an overseas player. I still think that that should have been resolved ages ago. I don't see why he can't just play for Gloss, but we'll have to wait and see what happens as the season progresses. But yeah, I mean, pretty obvious there for us too, Joe, wasn't it? Top of the South Group now. Yep. They've had a fantastic week. 3 commanding victories.
Yep.
And yeah, all of their players were absolutely sensational to a man. So yeah, glorious Gloucesters. TCCP South Group Team of the Week for our third wrap-up show. Joe, our next one, under-23 player of the week. I did just allude to him, and that is, of course, Surrey's Will Jacks. Scored 65 from 43 balls against Somerset, and also took impressive figures of none for 14 from 3 overs. And then, of course, he followed that up with an impressive 47 from 26 against Middlesex in the London Derby at the Oval, which included 5 fours and 3 sixes. And then, as if that wasn't enough, he also dismissed Joe Cracknell and Nick Gubbins with his off-spin as he took figures of 2 for 7 from 2 overs. So, Will Jacks, Joe, I mean, we mentioned him already on the podcast, that incredible 70 from 24 balls in the first London Derby of the season at Lords. He's such a good player, isn't he? We talk about high ceilings with Tom Banton. Would you agree as well that Will Jacks is an incredibly bright prospect for England in white ball cricket?
Definitely, and I'd like to see him play more red ball cricket, because I think he could become... He's different to Banton, isn't he, Jacks? He's a very technical player.
But very powerful with it as well.
Very powerful. So as we saw, he's the kind of person. Yeah, definitely. So he's the kind of person who can become a good red ball cricketer, because he can kind of rein in that power. You know, you obviously got some people who just are pure sloggers. He's not that at all. He's a very technically correct, good to watch player. Mm-hmm. And not that Tom Banton's not good to watch, but also obviously he's off spin, adds another string to his bow. So yeah, if he can get more red ball cricket, I don't see why. He can't you know, be in with a shout to play for England in Test cricket in the next however many years.
Indeed.
Having said that, he's not my under-23 player of the week.
Oh, who is then? Out of interest.
Tom Banton.
Okay, yeah. I mean,
so, we've already said enough about him. Class player.
And rightfully so. I mean, he's brilliant. I'm so happy. I really am happy. Also, talking to the Bantons as well, Jacques Banton has signed a deal for Worcestershire as well. So good week for the Banton family. Indeed, and yeah, Tom has been in brilliant, brilliant form for the Wyverns in this past week. In terms of our next one, Joe, our penultimate segment for the South Group, Player of the Week, again.
Probably going for the same one.
We may be in agreement for this one. Is he a Kiwi?
He is, yeah.
Are his initials GP?
They are.
Is it Glenn Phillips?
It is.
Good. Fantastic. Yeah, Glenn Phillips from Gloucestershire, 229 unbeaten runs across three games this week with a ridiculous strike rate of 184.68. It's staggering. And we mentioned about that incredible shot against Dan Douthwaite. No, and I've still got this. I've got this written down. Again, this is a little bit off topic, but I did the IPL auction. I did a live stream for it.
You did the auction?
No. As in, I did a live stream going through each and every single one of the purchases, and I've still got the 2021 auction list. And I've put a massive question mark next to both Devon Conway and Glenn Phillips. Because I think
they're good players.
Yeah, they are 100%. I mean, for those who watch New Zealand's domestic cricket, you'll know this already. And of course, Glenn Phillips in the CPL as well for Jamaica. But
now Conway in Test cricket.
He's such a good player. Honestly, Glenn Phillips, I can't say enough good things about him. Ridiculous talent, has every shot in the book. 360 degrees is an understatement. He could probably score 720, knowing Glenn Phillips. But yeah, incredible. Absolutely incredible. 94 not out against Sussex. 94 not out against Glamorgan. Says it all, really. Oh, incredible form. Scintillating. And deservedly TCCP South Group Player of the Week, without a shadow of a doubt. Now, Joe, before we wrap up today's show, we do, of course, have our South Group game to watch out for. Now, for me, this is pretty obvious because I absolutely love this game. I love watching it every single year. And that is, of course, the Cider Derby, Gloucestershire versus Somerset at the Bristol County Ground, Thursday, the 1st of July. It's going to be an absolute cracker. And as if the Cider Derby isn't good enough, we've mentioned two enterprising young batsmen who are going to be going toe-to-toe in this game, in Tom Banton for Somerset and Glenn Phillips for Gloucestershire. Both in form, both enterprising, both innovative, both destructive power hitters of the ball. That ball I feel sorry for on Thursday.
Now they're now both guaranteed to get first ball ducks, aren't they?
Oh, don't say that. They'd better not. But even then, even if that is the case as well, the bowlers, Somerset's bowlers are coming back into it as well. Max Waller, for example, Goldsworthy, Gregory, Leachy, if Leachy plays. Probably who knows?
Is it on Sky?
I'm not sure, actually. I don't think
because
so.
Because if it is, Leach will definitely play.
That'd be brilliant.
Sky will have a contract.
Yeah, and then of course
Somerset.
Yeah, and then of course the glorious Gloucesters with the likes of Shaw, Higgins, David Payne, Benny Howell. I think that is going to be an absolute blockbuster. It really is. If you can watch that game, watch it. I mean, I'm going to have my eyes firmly peeled on that game on Thursday. Joe, what about you, mate? What's your standout South Group game of the week?
Yeah, so I've gone for Hampshire, Surrey. Obviously, Hampshire are doing pretty poorly, well, very poorly at the moment, considering the team that they have, obviously. Vince, Darcy Shaw, De Grandhomme, to name three of their biggest players. Obviously, Liam Dawson isn't there at the moment, but when he is, and then you know the likes of Mason Crane as well, with the ball, and they're definitely underachieving. So, obviously, Surrey haven't been in the best form. I know they just obviously won the last game, but they lost, I think, two of the last three. And
in fact, we have to mention this. They should really have lost yesterday against Sussex.
Yeah, okay.
We couldn't have actually gone throughout today's podcast without saying that game yesterday. I mean, I feel so bad for Sussex Sharks fans. 4.5 overs, they were head of the DLS, and the umpires took them off with a ball to go before the result could be obtained.
Yep. Yeah, very harsh. But even so, they've still not been in the best form, despite still being third, of course. I feel like that could be a game for Hampshire to kind of kickstart their season, and obviously they're not likely to qualify, but I feel like that could be a game to watch out for, although I do think Surrey will beat them. So.
Ooh, interesting. Will be very, very interesting. Yeah, Joe, I think that'll be a good game as well, to be fair. But yeah, it should be a good week. It should be. I mean, we're getting towards the business end of the T20 Blast group stages. Some massive games this week, some massive games from last week as well. I mean, it's been a great tournament. It always is. Every single year, very entertaining, very exciting. Anything can happen, of course. It's the unpredictable nature of both T20 and the T20 Blast as a tournament. And yet, as we keep on mentioning every single week, watch the live streams, watch it on Sky, if you have Sky. And of course, if you can, if you have the privilege and luxury, I suppose, if you can go to the grounds, please do continue to keep on supporting the counties.
Definitely.
Because they need all of the help that they can get. But Joe, mate, I mean, that's pretty much it from us two for the wrap-up this week. Do you have anything to just kind of close today's episode on, or do you think we've covered everything, mate?
No, I think we've pretty much covered everything. Just hopefully we'll see some more good cricket, and hopefully England can win the ODI series as well.
Yes, fingers crossed. Yeah, that should be a good series. And of course, yeah, hopefully our teams in the North Group can, you know, improve and change their fortunes this week. So we're a bit happier next week. But Joe, mate, thank you very much for joining me again. Great to have you back. Really was last week. I mean, we wanted you on the pod. You weren't here. But yeah, always good to have you back on the pod here, mate. But that is it from us two here at the County Cricket Podcast for this week's T20 Blast wrap-up show. To all of the listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.